Elijah, the first of the prophet men, and then Elisha, we saw in 2 Kings. We'd like to turn to it, 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2. We saw how it is that God blessed and used Elisha, who was actually a servant, a prophet in training, we could say. In our terminology today, we might say that he was doing an internship to be a prophet. I don't know if that was, you won't find that in scriptures. It would be an application of the scriptures. But he was with Elijah. We're going to look at that even more. And the first thing we saw is Elijah and Elisha went down to Bethel. Bethel, the house of God. And with that, we emphasize how important it is to be in the church. I remember saying, I'm preaching to the choir, okay? I'm preaching to people who know that, because here on a Wednesday night, you are. But nevertheless, that is one of the reasons why God blessed these men. They spent time in the house of God. And just being in the church building isn't going to bring the blessing of God. But being in the church building in order to commune with God, to learn from God, knowing that in the church is where God teaches his truth. Yes, it can be taught elsewhere. I'm not saying it only in the church, but it is in the church where the truth is taught. Oh, what a sad commentary on liberal churches. They have a building, they have a name called church, but when people go into it, they're not being taught the Word of God. Right. And so we are so grateful for the church house.
Amen.
Okay? That's a term the Southerners use. And, you know, I like it. Amen. And I was going to try and start using that and call it the church house. It just didn't fit up north. Okay? It never caught hold with me as well as with others. Okay? And I just end up referring to it as the church building. But it's what takes place in here.
Yeah, yeah.
Just like the singing of that first song, my, I wish you could have all heard yourself sing. Your heart was in that. And that's how congregations are. There are certain songs that's their song. And every time they sing it, their heart comes out through it. And so God blessed Elijah and Elisha. And the second thing we saw was in verse 2, 4, and 6, where Elijah told the younger man Elisha to stay because he was going the first time to Bethel, then to Jericho, then to Jordan. Now, Jordan's not a city, okay? Bethel was a city, Jericho was a city, but Jordan is a river. And we read that when we get there. But he identified where he was going. And Elijah said, "No, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." So we saw that Elisha had a God who was alive. And he really believed that. And that's why Elisha lived the way he did. And how important it is that if we say we believe God, that we live then the way God would have us to live. And the third reason we saw that God used these men, again in verse 2, 4, and 6, where Elisha said, "As the Lord liveth, I will not leave thee." He would not quit. He would not give up. He would not give in. He just kept going. He would not be chased off. He would not be deterred. He said, "I will not leave thee. If you're going to Bethel, I'm going to Bethel. If you're going to Jericho, I'm going to Jericho." And then in each of these places, the other prophets that were in the prophet school, they said, "Don't you know that Elijah's going to be taken?" And he'd tell each of them, "Not just hold yourself." Okay? He'd say, "Don't get in a tizzy about this." Now, again, you won't read that, okay? That's the true expression that comes out of it. But he said, just, you know, I'm aware of this. That's why he wouldn't leave him. But then, not only did he say, I will not leave thee, but the fourth reason, which again is in verse 2, 4, and 6, he said, I will not leave. But we emphasized he would not leave. He stayed with Elijah. But now we emphasize the last word, thee. I will not leave thee. He not only wasn't going to go anywhere, wasn't going to be chased off. What he was doing was staying with Elijah. I will not leave thee. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, we read the words, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are they. Now when God says you're blessed, he's going to fill you. He's going to meet your needs. He's going to hide you, okay? That's what blessed means. It's not just some spooky, you know, shadow over you and wondering what this is. No, the blessing of God is his provision, his guidance, his comfort, his challenge, his whatever. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Hunger and thirst. We don't know what hunger and thirst is. We are blessed in our nation.
Right.
We are blessed in our nation. Now, some of you may not have as much in the refrigerator or the cupboard as some others. But the fact of the matter is, even if we go without one or two meals, we're going to have something by the third meal time.
Right.
And I don't know each of your homes, but I have an idea. We're each going to have something three times a day.
Uh-huh.
May not be a banquet, but I know I don't need a banquet. As a matter of fact, I don't need anything for about a week. See, we don't know what hunger and thirst is. But that's what Jesus said. They that do hunger, a craving, a gnawing, a strong demand, hunger and thirst. Now we know we can live without food longer than we can live without water. But thirst is not just, you know, where you run out and tap off a juice glass of water and, okay? Hunger and thirst. Such an intense desire. And then Jesus said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after what? Righteousness. Not religiousness.
That's right, brother. Right.
Not churchianity.
Yeah.
But Christ. Righteous. Righteous living. Do you know what righteousness does to most of our television viewing? It eliminates it.
Yes, sir.
We have DirecTV, and how many, 100 and some channels, 200 and some channels? How can it be that there aren't even a half a dozen of them that you can find something decent to watch? What's that? Okay, all right. You know, we need to be to hunger and thirst after righteousness. They'll be filled. Now, reason four. He says, I will not leave thee. Elisha had the power and blessing because he made his close friend a godly man. It was Elijah. Okay? We need to build our character. We need to build character in our children. We need to work on character in the youth of the church. Now listen, you don't get strong by hanging with weak men.
Uh-huh.
If you're on the bowling team, who do you learn from? The gutter ball queen king? No, you If you're on a bowling team, you watch the guy who's got all the X's and lines, you know, the strikes and the spares. You get strong by hanging with strong people. Also want you to consider the fifth reason, and it goes along with Elisha did hang with Elijah. He watched what Elijah did, and then he copied it. Verse 8, okay? Verse 8, and Elijah, this is the first, they came to the Jordan River now. He said, well, I'm going to Jordan, you stay here. And Elijah said, no, I'm going with you. And verse 7 says, 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And then these two men, Elijah and Elisha, they went and stood by the Jordan River. And Elijah took his mantle, wrapped it together, and smote the waters. And the waters were divided hither and thither, so that they too, Elijah and Elisha, went over. And it always amazes me when God divides waters on dry ground. Well, now, any good liberal knows that that can't be true because it would take time for the mud to dry. How ignorant can a person be? If God can divide the water, he can surely dry the mud. And that's what he did.
That's right.
Then look at verse 8. Verse 8, we just looked at that. And so they went over. Now verse 13, well, we go on verse 9. Verse 9. It came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee, and before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Do you know how the average person would interpret that when they think, well, Elisha was being greedy? I mean, you know, what, wasn't it good enough for him? What was good enough for Elijah? Or, yeah, Elijah?
Yeah.
Okay. He asked for a double portion. And no, it wasn't a matter of being greedy. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be. So if you see me when I go up, you'll get it. But if you don't see me, then it won't happen. Now, it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, came down between them, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried. In my head, I can just try to imagine what Elisha was doing. I don't know the age. I've never heard anything about the age of Elisha. Okay. I never have. But I've got an idea he was already pretty good into manhood. Okay. And I can hear him cry. Maybe in a deep voice that resonated. Okay. I can hear him, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. He saw him no more. He saw the chariot. He saw the fiery horses. He saw Elijah go up, cried out. And he saw him no more. He's gone. And he saw him go. And so he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces, which was a sign of sadness, of somberness, okay? And not sadness in the sense of brokenheartedness, but just the awesomeness of God working. And then in verse 13, he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him. Now that was the sign. That mantle was the sign of God's power transferred over to Elisha. asked for it, and God gave it. And I've never studied it out in the sense of reading it all and charting it myself, but I'm told that when you study the life of Elisha, you will find double of the miracles, double of the powers, double of the happenings that God used him for and performed for him. So he went back and he stood by the bank of Jordan. I remember it wasn't too long before he stood by there with Elijah, and he saw Elijah take that mantle, wrap it, and strike the waters. Test time. He took the mantle and he smote the waters. And you know what happened. The waters parted. And those 50 men of the sons of the prophets that stood there and watched, they saw it happen. They saw it happen. And when the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, here's what they said: the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. They came to meet him, bowed themselves down to the ground before him. And now Elisha became the main prophet. Now Elisha became the master prophet. Just as he had cried and spoken to Elijah, now they were doing that to him. And this matter of watching what Elijah did and then copying it. Find out who's doing the job and then do it like them. Find out who's living for the Lord. You have an area of difficulty and problem in your life. Find somebody who's living for the Lord that has the power of God and the success of God. Maybe it's as a mother with your children. Maybe it's as a father with your kids. Maybe it's a husband or wife in a relationship that way. Maybe it's in reading and studying the Word and how can I do this and what shall I do for it. Maybe your problem is with patience or lack of patience. Well, you find a patient person who demonstrates the grace of God. I really emphasize that because some people, by their very nature, how they're made, they're patient. Okay? So you need to find somebody who's patient but demonstrates the grace of God. Because you don't want to just learn their normal human nature patience. You want to know patience that God can give, because that's what you need. You don't have normal patience. So you need the kind that God can give. So you need to find somebody who's got that kind. And all we could go, maybe it's finances. Okay? Struggling always to keep the finances together. Find somebody who knows about finances and demonstrates the grace of God and learn from them. On we could go with examples of it. Now listen to this. This is not idolizing or worshiping a man. It's learning from them. So often people say, well, I'm not going to worship man. I'm not going to follow man. Well, that's something, isn't it? Here are my notes. I have 1 Corinthians 11:1, where the Apostle Paul said, be ye followers of me,
right,
even as I also am of Christ.
Yeah.
You find a godly person who's following Christ, you can follow that person,
yeah,
because you're going to be following Christ, learning how to follow Christ. And so, and think about this, with a mechanic. Have you ever heard anybody who says, well, I'd like to learn more about auto mechanics, and my neighbor, you know, I'm going to hang with him and learn mechanics. Have you ever heard anybody say, oh, you're idolizing me? No. Somebody who, you know, you need carpentry skills, and so you hang around somebody who can be carpentry skills, and you know, you're never considered as idolizing that person who you're learning from in carpentry skills. But somehow, when we want to hang with a stronger Christian, A Christian who's strong in an area where we need help, somehow the criticism comes up of idolizing the person. You know, to me, that is a prideful humility. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to follow somebody else. I just want to follow the Lord. You see? A prideful humility. Trying to look humble. But the fact of the matter is, they're too proud to try to get help.
Come on.
Elisha didn't mind asking for big things for himself. It's not selfish for you to ask for something. You know, and what's big to you might be little to somebody else. So you know, why do we have to always compare ourselves with others? We give ourselves more headaches and frustrations by comparing ourselves with others. Well, you know, what might help in that sort of thing is if we weren't critical of each other. Okay? If we, you know, if people, now, if people, you're talking man A and man B, or lady A and lady B. They're standing here, they're talking, along comes C, and when they're talking, they end up talking about somebody. Now, it's not person C they're talking about. It's person D or E or whatever, okay? But person C heard them say that. And there's no adage. If they talk about somebody else to you, they'll probably talk about you to somebody else.
Right.
And so that's why, one of the reasons why, we can end up comparing ourselves with others because we know somebody else is comparing us. Those are the scriptures. Now is when the scripture applies, judge not that you be not judged. That's the kind of judging we're not supposed to do. Now there's other scripture that says judge with righteous judgment. And that kind of judging we're supposed to do. But this business of you know, being critical of each other, that hurts us. It stymies us as a people. Now, I'm talking to us here at Black Creek. Friends, I could take this message, this part of the message, and go into any other church and say it, and it would be true.
Right.
So I'm not picking on us.
Sure.
You know, I know something that's really true. Every one of us has an old nature. None of us are without it. Some may have it under more control by their submission to God, but every one of us has an old nature, and that's what we struggle with. And so, what's the song we sing? I gotta end this message. Turn your eyes upon Jesus.